Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu. Welcome to the Fire It Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Well, the next segment continues on our theme of books and working with the community to raise it to higher heights. And we all know at some level, intuitively, and research shows that books, education, and literacy are really critical drivers to economic growth. Yet, in so much of the developing world, kids don't even have access to books. They have to share textbooks. They don't have books at all. One of the things that my upcoming guest had in one of his videos that shocked me was in the country of Botswana, which is about the size of France, that there may be about 6 bookstores, which is kind of shocking. I mean, and he said further in the video that we often take for granted the incredible resource that we have here with libraries, which I couldn't agree more after talking to Christy Hill. So today we are really lucky and fortunate to have World Reader CEO David Risher, who will be sharing his thoughts on new media platforms and technology and how they can transform education in the developing world. Welcome, David.
Thank you, CJ. It's great to be here.
So tell me about World Reader. I know you're such a visionary, and you've created, when I worked with you at Microsoft, created some of the most interesting, innovative, visionary products there. What is the gnarly problem when you were looking at your project right now? What was the gnarly problem that you were trying to solve?
You know, we want to solve a problem that has kind of baffled people for 500 years now, which is, you know, the knowledge of the world basically, at least until very recently, has been locked up in books everywhere. But those books don't tend to get to billions of people on the planet who just have never had great access. And I'll tell you a little bit about how we got started, which kind of, for me, sort of crystallizes the problem. I was actually at an orphanage in Ecuador. This was a couple of years ago. And I came across a building with a big padlock on it. And I asked the woman who ran the orphanage what was going on. And she said, well, that's our library. And I know you guys have been talking about libraries for the last half hour. I mean, this for me was already, I'm starting to get sad, right? Because when I was a kid, I spent my Saturday afternoons in the library reading, and I see this locked up library. So I asked, can we take a look? And she said, well, honestly, I think I've even lost the key to the place.
No. Now you're making Christy cry.
You know what? I mean, it's one of those things, like I suddenly realized one of the, you know, saddest images in the world is a locked up library with no key. And so, you know, we got to talking, and what she said made all the sense in the world the more she told me. She said, look, you know, books arrive, but they're already usually out of date by the time they get here, because they're often donated cast off books that nobody else wanted. But even so, still, that's not a problem. It's just that over time, the kids get bored of those books and then they want something new. You know, they want to read Harry Potter just like everybody else does. And so you start to think about this and you realize, well, cutting down trees and shipping books halfway around the world or taking other people's donated cast-offs really is a bit of a dead end, particularly when you look at the technology available today. And that's when I started to realize that e-readers like Amazon's Kindle really could help solve a very, very fundamental, as you say, gnarly problem. How do you get books to kids in the most remote regions, you know, as easily as making a phone call, which is kind of what's possible today.
So was it when, I mean, so you went to Ecuador, you thought, wow, there seems to be, like, you know, you kind of put all the little dots in your life connecting. You're like, I can be the superhero to solve this problem. I mean, what happened? How did you get from that moment to coming up with the solution and what's been involved in making it a reality?
Well, it's a great question. I'm not sure I was thinking of superheroes at that time, but the connect the dots part I think is right, which is all of a sudden I thought, hold on, you know, I used to work at Microsoft, as you said, so I know something about technology. Then I left Microsoft back in 1997 to join this tiny little startup called Amazon.com, which was a bookstore at the time. And in fact, I had studied comparative literature back in college and was a book guy from, you know, sort of, you know, long past. And then after that, I went to teach at the University of Washington for a couple of years. And so for me, books, technology, and education have all come together in all these different ways. And I thought, well, wait a minute, we have this world problem. We have millions or billions of people who have so little access to books. We now have technology that can solve that problem. And I have some experience in both. And so one thing led to another, and I kind of, you know, sat up straight in my chair and said, wait, this is what I have to do now. This is what I have to do. So, you know, to kind of go on with the story a little bit, I you know, got some people together, and gosh, we started to talk to a woman who had started some orphanages in Ghana. And I can tell you this story at some length, but here we are about 2 years later, and we've now distributed 100,000 ebooks to about 1,000 kids across Ghana, Uganda, and Kenya, and they're reading every day and reading like mad.
Mm, interesting. So that, you know, you are a superhero in my book. Seriously. Superman, I just can't figure out which one. Is it Spider-Man, the little one that's a little bit more geeky, or Superman that flies around the world? I'm not sure yet. We'll have to get back to me on that one.
Get back to me. By the way, if I can choose, I'm going to go with Spider-Man. But anyway.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. You can choose. All right, I get it. I get that knowing you. All right, so let's – I would be remiss if I didn't talk about technology and, like, you know, you're such a visionary, so let's tap that vein. When you look at technology and you look at readers, where do you see that technology going in the next 10 years?
Well, it's a great question. And really, you know, it's really hard to predict, you know, these things. Someone famously said – I think it might have been Bill Gates, actually – that it's – you know, people tend to overestimate what's going to happen in 2 years and underestimate what's going to happen in 5 years. If you look at where e-readers and e-books are right now, you know, it's amazing. In fact, it's hard to see in modern history a time when a new technology has come and changed people's behaviors so quickly. So to give you an example, John Grisham's new book, 75% of his sales are going through e-books right now. And that's up from, you know, 0% 2 years ago. So enormous change. So with that rate of change, it's really hard to predict. Now, on the other hand, here's what I think we can sort of, you know, easily predict, and that is that walking around with an e-reader is really like walking around with a library in your hands. Mm-hmm. And right now, these things hold a couple hundred or a couple thousand books, but over time, they really will be like walking around with an entire library of hundreds of thousands of books that's available to you, you know, wherever you are. Now, the other thing that we know about people's reading habits now is people are actually reading more now than they used to, but they tend to be reading in shorter bursts and in different places. You know, people read on their cell phones, and people read on their e-readers, people read on their iPads and so forth. So I think if you put all these things together, you're going to see a very, very, very rich set of reading experiences that people have that are actually much more, let's say, commonplace almost than they were even 5 years ago. Where 5 years ago, if you didn't have your book in your hand, you probably weren't reading it. Now, if you've got your phone, or if you've got a, you know, a tablet, or if you have anything else, you know, chances are you're about 5 seconds away, if you want to be, from reading a book.
Yeah, it's like email, but the good version of it, where you're like, you can read it all the time, all over the place.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. You know how addictive email can be. Well, in a funny way, I hope reading books is just as addictive.
Yes, I think it is. You know, seriously, I see so many people who are reading on their phone, or like I actually saw a woman walk probably like 3 city blocks while she was reading on her phone. And it was a book, or reading with her ebook. And I thought, that's strange, but I guess kind of cool, too. Because that's what you're talking about. So when you look at the readers, it sounds like I definitely see the things you're talking about. And the price, I would have been shocked to think about the price of the Kindle going, I don't know what it started off as, $2.99, and now it's like $79.
Yeah, it's crazy. It started off at $4.99, actually. So this was almost $399, a $400 product. So this is a $400 product that, you're right, now is $79, and it'll keep getting less and less expensive.
Yeah, and what do you see is happening in the world of education, since you used to teach at the UW and you're educating children right now? What do you see are the changes that you would anticipate?
Well, another great question. I mean, I think the macro trend, and the one that a lot of people are quite focused on, is that instead of the teacher really being the repository of all the knowledge and the students kind of taking it in, you know, sort of blank slates that get written on, instead, we're moving to a world, and this is probably more true in the developed world than the developing world, where the teacher is more the facilitator. You know, mm-hmm. The knowledge is out there. The knowledge you can get to through Google or through, you know, or through Wikipedia or through pick your favorite information portal. And of course, you know, the sum total of knowledge on the internet is much greater than what any what any teacher can have. And so instead, the teacher's job is to help the students discover and find and discern between what's true and what's, let's say, what's a fact and what's someone's opinion. I think this is a pretty fundamental change. Another change a lot of people talk about is this idea of, you know, sitting, now maybe I'm more thinking of university settings, but sitting in a lecture and listening to a professor talk is kind of a strange mode when you probably could have done that just as well from your dorm room. And so some of that type of one-way learning is probably going to happen more one-on-one, whereas the groups, when the groups come together, that becomes more around discussion and collaboration and discovering things that you really can't discover if you're just receiving information.
My son loves the idea. He's now in middle school, but he's like, you know, one day I'll just be in college and I'll be doing everything in my pajamas from my dorm room. Right?
Right.
Right. Your classes are the times when you communicate and collaborate and share ideas. It's not about, you know, pounding through the data.
Exactly.
So when you see actually the intersection of these two things, what do you think are some of the possibilities? And I know it's hard to predict, but when you look at the, you know, where education is going, and, you know, there's so many interesting things with the experiments that they're doing with Khan Academy, all these different things, and you look at technology, what do you think is the interesting intersection between those two things?
Well, I mean, I think at the biggest level, you know, you have, when you try to predict these sort of societal trends, you really kind of have to go down to the basics, you know, what motivates us as people, for example. And one of the things that people are, and this is true here in the United States, and it's true in Africa, and in South America, I've been lucky enough to do quite a lot of traveling, is people are fundamentally curious. We're knowledge seekers. You know, we want to learn. And so in a world where you have increasing amounts of information at your fingertips, you know, in whatever form, and by the way, in a connected world too, right? So it's not just at your fingertips when you're sitting at your desk, it's at your fingertips when you're walking down the street, as you say. Well, that's a very interesting world for education, because it means that learning and knowledge acquisition can happen in so many new contexts, in so many new ways, and really, let's say, on demand, based on what you're curious about, as opposed to, you know, maybe what someone else thinks you should know. And so this is very exciting. I mean, of course, it's also, you know, it's a little bit unnerving if you're in the business, as universities are, of coming up with, you know, what's the knowledge that everyone who walks through our gates should know. It's a little unnerving to think that individuals now have so much more power and, frankly, so much more choice than we did in the past. But at the same time, I think it's very, very exciting. And if you look, you know, 10 and 20 years from now, you're looking at really hundreds of millions of people. And here again, I'm primarily thinking of people outside the United States who will have access to information they never could have hoped to have access to before. And I think that's a very, very exciting future.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of talking to a professor and say, actually, your job is going to become more of a facilitator. I think it's going to blow most professors, like the old time professors, blow their minds. But, you know, we were in Christy Hill, we were just talking about librarians and how librarians now have to become career coaches and they have to help people, you know, motivate people. I mean, stuff that they didn't have to do before because, like you were saying, I mean, they view themselves as a community resource and, you know, you have to adapt with the times. And so I think that teaching and in universities or in, you know, it's all going to change. So we have to kind of re-examine our roles as the world changes around us. So fascinating. I always love talking to you about visionary stuff. You're amazing. You're truly amazing.
Hey, listen, it's fun to pretend to be able to see the future because, you know, no one really can know, right? So everyone, we're all pretending. But, you know, I think you're absolutely right, CJ. It does change a lot of people's roles. But the way I would maybe frame that is, you know, facilitating sounds, you know, a little bit kind of small bore, but really it's an opportunity for leadership in so many ways. You know, mm-hmm. teachers can be true sort of intellectual leaders in a mm-hmm. way that, in a sense, is harder to be if your job is merely to transmit information. At this point now, the information transmission can be handled by other tools, and you can really be the leader and the thought leader and the person who says, take a look at this. Here's something you probably haven't examined on your own, and I can help you see through new eyes.
Beautifully said. So thank you, Dave. We have CEO of World Reader, whose mission is to make digital books available to all in the developing country, enabling millions of people to improve their lives. Next, we're going to talk about World Reader's experience in Ghana, Kenya, and Uganda. If you want to hear more about shows like this, we want to hear more shows like this, then go to www.fireitupwithcj.com. And if you want to share the gift of books with a child, then please consider making a donation by going to worldreader.org. We'll be right back.
Feeling bogged down by your daily grind? Not living up to your greatest potential? Then it's time to turn up the heat and get real with what truly matters, be it family, career, wellness, spirituality, or anything else that fuels your inner flame. Join Fire It Up with CJ as this respected life coach talks to a wide range of experts and everyday people for their inspiring and unconventional ideas to help you make the most from your life. Equal parts heartwarmer, cheerleader, and butt kicker, CJ Liu draws on her extensive experience in business and life coaching, along with her intuition and playful humor, to address meaningful topics with truth and irreverence. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.
Do you dream of being on The Amazing Race? Well, here's your chance. Grab a friend and prepare for an exhilarating race around the city when City Solve Urban Race comes to your city. Teams of two will solve clues and face fun challenges while racing around the city. The winning team gets $300 and a chance to be in the Las Vegas Championship race to compete for a grand prize of $5,000. Not only will you have a ton of fun, you'll also be helping a good cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit a local charity. To start racing, go to CitySolveUrbanRace.com.
Tune in each Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the hit show Out of the Fog with Karen Hager, the Fog City Psychic. Spark your spirit and ignite your soul with spiritual conversation and enlightening guests that will help you get clear and catapult you into action. You'll meet metaphysical movers and shakers, intuitives, spiritual visionaries, and more. Want an on-air reading? Karen's down-to-earth style and lively curiosity delivers the compassionate, no-nonsense, intuitive advice that's become her trademark. Visit FogCityPsychic.com and book your reading today.
Steak Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit us at drdarvish.com. That's drdarvish.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is CJ Liu, and you're listening to the Fire It Up with CJ show on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And today we have David Risher, who is the CEO from World Reader, sharing his organization's phenomenal work. And we are going to be talking about some of the work that he's been doing in Ghana, Uganda, and Kenya with World Reader. So welcome back, David.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So tell us, what's the latest and greatest?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, we're at about 100,000 ebooks distributed over the last 18 months. And it's pretty extraordinary. I mean, if you think of what that would look like in terms of container ships full of books, of course, it's nothing like that, right? They're all distributed wirelessly through the cell phone network right onto kids' devices that they're carrying around with them. I was just in Ghana a couple of weeks ago, and I met a girl, Okanta Kate, who has read now over 100 books in the last year. African books by, because we've digitized a lot of African literature as well as international literature. So books by people that she had never been able to be exposed to before. And she told me she now wants to be, she wants to be an author. In fact, what she said is, I want to be Africa's most famous author ever, which I thought was just fantastic.
Wow.
Just fantastic.
That is fantastic. Honestly, when you hear that, you're like, okay. Is worth all the hard work that I'm doing.
It absolutely is. I mean, and of course it is hard work. It's hard work to, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. When we bought 500 e-readers, these were Kindles, about 18 months ago, this was for our first project in Ghana. At the time, Amazon had a limit of 3 e-readers per person, and we had to buy 500. And so they had to do all sorts of crazy stuff to let us kind of get around their order quantity limit, and they were opening ordering windows and closing ordering windows for us. And then we literally flew to Ghana. This was on Thanksgiving almost 2 years ago, and or a year and a half ago now, and had to get all these things through customs. And the guys there literally had to, they spent the night outside guarding these, because it's a lot of merchandise, and it was actually bigger than the guy's apartment who works with us there. And in any case, so, you know, it's complicated to pull it off, but then you put them in the kids' hands and they turn them on, and just a big old smile shows up on their face as they start to realize that they can read, you know, any book that they can think of. So it's pretty phenomenal.
So it's just incredible. I was watching another one of the videos from another person in your organization, and they were talking about what you're doing with converting regular phones into smart phones. How cool is that? Tell us quickly about what that's about.
Thank you. Yeah, that's another one of our initiatives. Mostly we work with e-readers because they work well in the classroom and because they're good for textbooks and so forth. But of course, there are a lot more people with cell phones in the world than electronic readers. And so we now have a program where you can read on a what's called a feature phone. So it's a lower end version of a smartphone. There are about 3 million of these that are in the program that we're participating in. And every day, about 40,000 people, we actually have about 300,000 people who have read books on these just in the last month, and about 40,000 people a day read books on these. So there's so many ways for people to read now that they just didn't have a couple of years ago. And the work we're doing really is trying to bring a lot of that to the part of the world where we think it can have an enormous impact.
Wow, fascinating. All right, so... any other things that you want to tell the listeners in the last minute that we have? Tell us about how they donate money, what that money goes towards.
Right. Well, if you come to worldreader.org, you'll see all about us, and you'll see the videos that CJ has been talking about, and see some great pictures of our work there. I think you'll find it very inspiring. You know, on average, it costs us about $5 in total to send an ebook to a child in Africa. And so we would love, of course, the support of your listeners to come and help us do this. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be doing something, and we haven't said anything about this publicly yet, but I'll share it with you guys first, which is that we want to start a campaign to be the first in history to send 1 million ebooks to the children of Africa. We just think this is the sort of thing which could never have been done before. The technology wasn't there. You know, the world wasn't ready for it, but now we really can. And so that's something that I hope you'll be hearing more about in the coming weeks.
You are fantastic. You truly are. You're better than Spider-Man, seriously.
All right, now you're just messing with me. But anyway, that's a couple of words.
Thank you so much, David Richard. I really just admire your hard work and good heart and vision. It's really quite amazing how you've taken all your talents and rolled them all together. Folks, remember, thank you again for being on the show. If you want to hear more shows like this, make sure to friend us on the Fired Up with CJ page on Facebook. And please, again, consider sharing the gift of reading with another by going to www.worldreader.org. Thanks for all the folks at WBLQ. And tune in next week when we'll be talking about happiness and how you can stay happy, centered, and peaceful no matter what. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Thursday.
You've been listening to Fire It Up with CJ. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for more of Fire It Up with CJ. It takes just one spark to ignite a fire. For dates and showtimes, visit www.fireitupwithcj.com or www.transformationtalkradio.com.